July 27th, 2021, month-end meeting at 6:45, and regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Okay. We are on. Good evening, everybody. First order of business here this evening is our month-end audit meeting. Let's see here. Do we have anything else that needs signatures on it?
No, we have all signatures.
Do we have any discussion items?
No discussion items.
No discussion items. So we do have here a resolution to increase appropriations. Let me go ahead and read it. Let's see. The following resolution was made on July 27th, 2021 at a meeting of the Town Board of the Town of Borough, County Secretary of the State of New York. This is to increase appropriations due to sewer consolidation fees and increase fees for sewer use from the City of Glens Falls. And the motion is to increase appropriations by $10,000 to account GI 811.0.4 under sewer contractual.
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
Any discussion? Would anybody have any more input on that we can talk about? I don't think so. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Any other discussion
items?
Okay, I'd like to seeking a motion to pay the bills as audited.
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All in favor. Okay. Anything else on... Okay.
No.
So seeking a motion to close the audit meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Welcome everybody. Welcome to the regularly scheduled town board meeting for Town of Borough for July 27, 2001. At this time, could we please have a roll call?
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
All right, would we stand for a Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right, so first order of business here would be the approval of minutes. We have four sets of minutes. June 29th, 2021, the public hearing on the solar law, which at this point is not law one or two. I guess we can call it solar law number three. Or solar law three. Was everybody present for all of these? Can we do them all at once, or do we need to do them separate? Okay, so let's take them all together. They would be for June 29th, 2021, public hearing for solar, July 13th, 2021, public hearing in local law number 2 of 2021, extension of R5 zoning, July 13th, 2021, public hearing for water district consolidation, July 13th, 2021, the regular town board meeting. Seeking a motion for approval of minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussions or corrections that need to be made? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None opposed. All in favor? Motion carries. Okay. Second item. Set in future meetings and workshops. The public hearing for our solar law closed this past Tuesday. The comments are now being compiled, and I feel at this time we should probably schedule a workshop for sometime in August to discuss our findings and any any other business that would come about with a solar law workshop. Anyone have any particular dates they would like to throw out, check, or to schedule that for?
26th at 6 p.m. or meeting.
So August 26th at 6 p.m. Current timing, that would work for me.
Voting is that, that would work for me as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, so we'd like to, do we need a motion on that?
You should.
Okay, so taking a motion to set the workshop on our solar law for Thursday, August 26th at 6 p.m. here at Town Hall.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? Great. Motion carries. Okay. Let's check this off the list. Mm-hmm. All right. Item number three, recreation. I don't know if there were anything to find in your materials here. The first thing I'm going to talk about is the hiring of a lifeguard. This individual was interested back in the spring, but she didn't turn 16 until July 15th. So she's still interested. I happen to know her. She's a student of mine. Great kid in an age that can continue working for the town and take a bite. And I take some of the problem and the issue of finding lifeguards away from us as we go forward here. So if you have an application in front of you, her name is Madeline Harris. Recently turned 16, has her certifications, works at the Great Escape currently, but would like more hours, and can actually walk to the sandbar, which is great. I don't know if anyone else has a chance to chat with her, but certainly my recommendation, I don't have a problem hiring Ms. Harris. I can read the resolution if there's no questions here. So be resolved that Madeline Harris be hired as a lifeguard for the Town and Rural Recreation Department at a rate of $12.50 per hour, effective immediately and subject to the successful completion of a background check and pre-employment physical within a 2-week period.
So moved. Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Let's see. Second item of business here for rec. We have the Empire City Soccer agreement with the Town of Moreau. I know registration, they're looking to get this started as soon as possible. Everyone's been provided a copy of this agreement. There were some highlighted changes at one point. If you have any questions on those, they're on page 4, it looks like. Carla, is there anything specific that we should talk about with this item?
No, I reviewed it and went over everything. As long as you are all fine with the changes that were made, you just need to throw your plan.
Okay, great. So, are we looking for a motion to give the supervisor authority to sign this agreement?
Yes.
Seeking a motion giving the supervisor authority to assign the agreement with Empire City Soccer for our 2021 fall, for our 2021 soccer program.
So moved.
Second.
Any additional discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. We're down to the highway department here. We have two items for highway. First item for highway, the superintendent is looking to purchase gasoline. I believe he's gone through the proper procurement procedures, and it looks like we have one vendor, Global Montello Group. It's under state contract, yep. Number PC 68456. looking to spend $15,000 out of account paid from DB5142.460. There's currently $32,615.65 in that account as of 7/1/2021. This item is included in the current year budget. And the budgeted amount for the current year is $72,320.72. So we're seeking a motion to approve this purchase request.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Second highway item here. Okay. Highway Superintendent Mr. Joseph has requested from the town board an opportunity to attend the 2021 New York State Association of Town Superintendents of Highways annual conference. Let me read this here. I'm requesting permission to attend the 2021 NYSAT SH Annual Conference Education Symposium and Expo in Saratoga Springs from Tuesday, September 28th, to Friday, October 1st. Okay, sorry, I was reading that correctly. Tuesday, September 28th to Friday, October 1st. This conference is sponsored by New York State Association of Town Superintendents of Highways. There are funds allocated for the registration fee and meals in account A55010.401 with a balance of $2,175 as of 7/6/2001. The total amount budgeted for A5010.401 was $2,200. The expected cost of attending the conference, meals and registration will be $550. The above charges are all proper town charges. If you should have any questions regarding the above, please feel free to contact me at my office, signed Paul Joseph, Superintendent of Highways. So we're looking for a motion to approve payment of cost of payment not to exceed $550 out of account A55010.401. So Paul can attend this conference.
So moved. Second.
Any further discussion?
The only discussion, can we just follow up with the supervisor's office? I thought we discussed a form that we filled out of all future requests that detailed all the expenses, and I thought that was going to be implemented as a policy. Can we just follow up with the...
We talked about that last meeting, and the thought was, and we can address it later in this meeting under supervisor items. The thought was everyone had a little bit of homework to just double check to see if there was anything else that needed to be included on that. And if so, we could talk about it this evening, and then going forward, we were going to. So that's a great point, and that brings up kind of filling this out.
Yeah, I'm fine with
like this. Yeah. We have not adopted that as any sort of official documentation yet. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. We have any further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No one's opposed. Okay. All right. So fifth item here, water department. Everybody has, I believe, a copy of this at one time. Carly, do you have one of these?
No.
Okay. So, I can talk about it if you want to pass this down, or that's... You have it. Okay. So, what everyone has in front of you is a... rather than discuss names at this point in time, I don't know if we need to or can leave them out, we do have a user in one of the water departments that... I'll just give you the summary. They had a leak going on. They looked at their water meter and was determined that I believe it was 25 gallons a minute going through. 25 gallons a minute going through. Jesse was called. He went over, determined, yes, 25 gallons a minute is going through that meter. If it's going through the meter, then there's a good chance the issue was on the other side of that meter, not with town equipment. In an effort to protect the user, Jesse did what was customary, I believe, and he swapped out that meter, sent the meter in question off to check for calibration. It was determined that that meter was perfectly fine, and he switched that meter back on. In the meantime, telling the customer, there's a pretty good chance this is your problem. You should try and figure out where the leak is on your side. The customer has chosen to not do that. The leak is still somewhere on the other side of that individual's meter. There's still 25 gallons a minute going through that meter. And at this point, so in an effort to, I would say these were protect the customer, what we've been able to do in the past, after discussing with the clerk and Jesse, is that there was a, what do I want to use for it? A modified billing agreement. If in fact there was a problem on the town side, we certainly wouldn't want to be overcharging this user. So the individual paid certainly a smaller amount, but the fact of the matter here is they paid $808.96 on a different meter. And Jesse's here is going to explain it a little bit better in a second, but the reality, the real numbers here is at this point, this user owes $10,711.85. So we're kind of here to have a discussion about this. So we're all on the same page. Ask Carl any questions anybody might have about how to move forward, if there's any legal issue or concern on our end. I don't know if I hit it right, but if you want to add.
What we did was originally the user had a large consumption 1 month, and a real large consumption 1 month, so we brought that to his attention and felt that there was a leak in the system someplace, and we looked for it. We did leak detection twice. I did it, and once Christian that works for me did it, and nobody seems to be able to find where this leak is, but yet the water's running through this meter. So the question came up because the meter that was on there was calibrated retrofit head. Is there a possibility that there could be a problem with it? Could it have jumped calibration somehow? So in order to find that out, we recalibrated another retrofit head. We put it on there, and we found that it was running at the same rate. We looked for the leaks. We did everything we could, and then finally we decided we had a brand new meter in stock that we took down and we put in. And when we put this new meter in, it was running 25 gallons a minute. And we just couldn't seem to... We kept trying to please the customer as far as making sure that all of our equipment was working properly. And it was. So what we did over this, it was actually about a 3 or 4 month period that we did this. We finally sent the meter out to have it tested and found out that it was 100% accurate. What had happened was the meter had been sitting on the shelf since, the new meter had been sitting on the shelf since 2016, so the question came up, how do I know this one's good? So we tested it, put it back in, it's 100% fine. It's running over 25 gallons a minute, which is 36,000 gallons a day, and it's just adding up. So, you know, it's up to the board how you want to handle it. But what we did was, in the meantime, we estimated it as to what their normal usage would be, and they did pay that normal usage, those bills and everything, as to what it would have normally been. But in the meantime, you lost probably 3 or 4 million gallons of water. The determination is what do you want to do with it. In the past, if the water had gone through a meter someplace, we've made people pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question? Is that where we know the answer? Is the consumer challenging the bill?
The bill, I don't believe the bill's been presented to him as at this time. What I did tell him was that we put that new meter back in and that everything was 100% fine, and I texted him and sent him a message that it was, and he sent me a message back that he had contacted Rural Water for the second time. They came up here, they determined that there was a leak underneath the building, is what they said. And we don't know how that could possibly be because there's no water lines underneath the building, but that's where they seemed to find the noise coming from. So he had called Rural Water to come up again, but they can't come until sometime in August. So in the meantime, the water just keeps running. And, you know, he had told us at one time one of the reasons that we did, you know, we felt that we did our due diligence. I mean, but he told us that if I started digging my park up and I can't find anything, and we find out that it was your equipment, somebody's gonna be paying to put our park back together.
But you're pretty certain, based upon the information you provided, that it's not our equipment. It's a matter of they have a leak and they just haven't really located it.
I beg your pardon?
You determined that it's not our equipment, that there is got to be a leak there in the park. They just haven't located the leak.
It hasn't come to surface. They haven't located it. It could be numerous things. It could be three homes with a toilet running all the time. It could be a lot of different things. I mean, he says he's been to each home and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're unable to find it.
Yeah.
But it definitely is not our equipment. Our equipment is measuring 25 gallons a minute.
Okay. Is the question for the board here this evening whether or not we should build it for water?
Yes, that's the question.
My position is we should build it.
I also feel that we should build them. The water went through a meter. The water was used. It went through a meter. We should build them.
I agree.
Separate question related to the building. Can I ask you, Jesse?
What's that?
A separate question related to the building. Do we have any hazardous condition that could be materializing that we should be concerned about? A lot of water under a house.
I don't know. You know, sooner or later, this is going to surface. If it's running through the homes and into the septics, it seems like it would have to compromise the septic systems after a while. There's 42 feet of sand. You know, it's 5 foot deep. I don't know how long it's going to take. It could take a long time. If it's in one of the pipes, it could take a long time to surface. I don't know. It could cause a sinkhole. It is on private property, that was. I don't know. What's the legal ramifications of it?
They use the water, they can take the water. I mean, that's how your law is written.
But because we have already charged them each month for a minimum bill,
Estimated bill,
do we have the legal right to go back and charge them for the water that could be there?
Yes, because they use the water. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, obviously they get a credit for whatever they pay because land put in there. So,
right.
Yes, but they should be billed out.
So it's not really an action item, but it's a discussion, I think, to the board that's sufficient for...
When that comes up now, is there some sort of, you know, you're talking a lot of money here, is there a program that this can be put on for payment, or is this something that is going to have to be paid all at once? I mean, that's something that's out of my...
Yeah.
That's out of my hand. I can't say yes or no. I know we've done it in the past with people, but each is a circumstantial incident, you know. So
my recommendation is we should bill accordingly for our normal procedures, and if the person responsible for the bill has a question like that, they should approach the town. I would suggest to remove yourself from that because it's just not quite Any one of us can't make that decision, or can you send them to the town? That'll be my recommendation.
Same here.
Same here. And I appreciate you did everything you did to protect the property owner in that situation. So I know if it was my home, I'd be digging. I'd be digging to try and find that leak. So it's still going, correct? Still going. Okay. Not really an action item. Have we supplied everyone sufficient with this? Yes? Okay. All right, great. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
Water department done. Let's see here. Number 7. Town clerk's office. So, number 6 here at the town clerk's office. We have a resignation letter from Deputy Town Clerk, Deputy Registrar, Deputy Receiver of Taxes, Jill Bennett. She's tendering her resignation effective July 31st, 2021, after 3.5 years of employment. She states she's grateful and she's looking forward to the skills she learned and her future opportunities. So we're looking for a motion to accept Jill Bennett's resignation effective July 31st, 2021.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Thank you, Bill, for the service you provided for 3.5 years.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion passes. Okay. Transfer station. Let's see, one thing here for transfer station. I thought there were two, but I guess there's only one at this point in time. Okay, so first order of business here for the radio, or for the transfer station, nothing with radios yet. Purchase request for, or a quote summary. It's to get the brush pile chipped up. Description here says we need to get the brush pile chipped up. We are out of room. We cannot take up the back. It is too wet and we'll get stuck. Whatever that means. So I guess there were some folks approached wood waste reduction out of Glens Falls, quoted $5,000 on June 17th. W&M Beers Inc. was approached, did not submit a request. Volusia & Sons was also approached, did not submit a request. So at this time we have one quoted proposal here from Wood Waste Reduction for the amount of $5,000. And I feel as if this has been the same amount we've been paying for a few years now from Wood Waste Reduction Services. So it is the recommendation from the transfer station that we use Wood Waste Reduction Services. This would be paid out of account A8160.4. There's currently, or as of 6/30/2021, there's $5,416.62. It was budgeted for the amount of $5,500, and the cost is coming in at $5,000. So we're looking for a motion to approve this agreement with Wood Waste Reduction Services.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Yes. Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any opposed? None opposed.
That motion includes authorizing the supervisor to sign?
Yes. Should I state that again or say
no? No, you just said yes.
Thank you. Okay. So it's not on the agenda, but I had a conversation yesterday with Supervisor Secretary. Transfer station is also looking for purchase, and this can come up for another meeting, but something to think about, I guess. Looking for the or the supervisor's office can purchase these. I forget what we discussed. A set of radios, they don't need to be expensive, so there can be communication between all of the spots where our folks work down there. Because as of now, there's no way for someone over recycling to communicate with somebody in the hut, so, or someone down at the trash. So where you might see some paperwork coming your way about some radios that can be purchased and
some
walkie-talkie. Yeah, like a walkie-talkie that can be stuck on a charger, just left, you know, just communicate back and forth. Should be less than $100.
Yeah.
Okay, just want to know if that's coming. Okay, so moving on. Item number 8, Medicare reimbursement. Former employee Linda Blackburn reached out to Jeffrey Cruz regarding her Medicare reimbursement. In the email, I'll just read it. It comes to my attention that I'm not eligible to receive reimbursement on my Medicare Advantage Health Plan. I turned 65 on March 2nd, 2021. I wasn't aware that I had to request this reimbursement until recently, and then a resolution was needed. Please accept my request to be reimbursed starting from 3/2/2021 to the present. Thank you in advance for your prompt attention to this matter. So we handled this differently in the past. 1 year, I believe we did a blanket agreement to reimburse anybody that had retired in a certain amount of time. And I think in the past year or so, we have been approving them in one-off requests. This is another example of a one-off request. Here's the. I mean, I'm inclined to approve this. I don't, as a, if you're asking me as a single board member, I can read the resolution. Whereas the town board has authorized the partial reimbursement of Medicare for eligible retirees on the Medicare Advantage Health Plan, and whereas retiree Linda Blackburn Wynans enrolled in the Medicare Advantage Plan on March 1st, 2021. So it be resolved that the town board hereby authorizes Medicare reimbursement payments for Linda Blackburn Wynans retroactively in the amount of $289.20 quarterly.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
So, as you pointed out, we need to do this as a blanket thing, isn't it? Basically, that anybody that might be eligible to start a year would be covered under that, and then as they become eligible, they would do the resolution. Is that how it normally works?
Well, I don't know if it's normal because I don't know. I feel as if we've done it two different ways. We did that one way that you just described,
mm-hmm.
and I think the last couple we have one off approved them, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
not a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Right.
So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? None opposed. Motion carries. Okay. The next one, number 9, this is going to be a board discussion with a little bit of background from Carla Bittner here. This is about the future cannabis law, or the cannabis law in the future of how the towns want to handle it. Is there any, do you want to
sure.
give some background so we can figure out where this is going?
As you know, back in March, the governor enacted the Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act. And what that did was legalize adult use marijuana in New York. There was a whole host of things that the law did, but what the local governments have the option to do is decide whether or not they want to permit retail dispensaries and on-site consumption within the town or not. The way it works is the town board has the right to decide whether they want to opt out of the law. They do these things differently. Sometimes they make you opt in, sometimes they make you opt out. This one, you opt out. if you have the right to opt out of either allowing retail dispensaries, allowing on-site consumption, or allowing both. If you want to opt out of the law, there's a procedure you have to go through. You have to do it by local law, and that local law is subject to a permissive referendum, and that law has to be enacted by December 31st. That's why I'm bringing it to you now, because there are time periods that we have to meet if the board decides to opt out. It's not a decision that needs to be made tonight, but I wanted to bring it up to you to put it in the forefront of your mind. One of the things that you need to know about the law is the way it financially affects the town of Laura. So there are obviously taxes on these, just like there's taxes on alcohol. The taxes are split up. It's a 4% tax, excise tax. And it's split up, 25% of that goes to the Saratoga County. 75% of that goes to the town. And the village, if the dispensary or retail establishment is in the village. If it's in the town gets 75% of the 4%. If it's in the town and the village, and you don't have an agreement to the contrary, you split that 75%. So that's the way the law is written right now. If the town wants to opt out, like I said, it has to do so by local law. If the town doesn't want to opt out, it does nothing. The only thing that I need to caution you about is that if you don't opt out by the end of the year, you can't opt out in the future. But if you opt out by the end of the year, you can always opt back in. I'm thinking that may change, but as the law is written right now, if you want to opt out, you have to do it by the end of the year, otherwise you're precluded from ever opting out again. So I just wanted to throw it out there. I did send you some information on it. There's actually, just like the State Liquor Authority, there's the Office of Cannabis Management that has been created. They're in the process of putting together regulations. This really just says, does the town of Moreau want to allow retail dispensaries and on-site consumption, not household, but on-site consumption within the town? You can't decide whether you want to allow folks to use marijuana. That's legal. You can't issue licenses on that. That's not your prerogative. Your prerogative is just, do you want these here? Yes. If you do, you do nothing. If you don't, then you opt out. You opt out, you don't get any of the excise tax.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Like other businesses, in town, some are determined where they can go, you know, through zoning. Mm-hmm. Is that something that we could look at as a town in the future?
That's actually the only thing we can do. Okay. Because you don't have, just like you can't issue a liquor license, you can't issue a marijuana license, but you can say, okay, well, we're not going to allow these in the residential zone. We're only going to allow them in the C1 district or something like that.
So this is definitely something where I would look to hear from other residents about what they feel about it. I have my thoughts on it. If we're sharing about that tonight. But,
it's up to you. I just wanted to bring it to you because of the time period.
I mean, I could be a good conversation and discussion can, you know, move me one way or the other if I can get behind certain ideas, but I don't like the idea of passing up the tax benefit of having a dispensary in the community. Because the towns around us may or may not do it. If people are going to pass through Moreau to go to Corinth, or if people are going to pass through Moreau to go to Fort Edward or Hudson Falls, and then drive back through and go, oh, I don't have that. I would like to be a part of some of those taxes. On-site consumption, that's a little bit different. I mean, there's some science there that I think no one's going to claim to know all the answers on. In terms of
you know, once in your system, your impairment and issues and like that, that's more I feel law enforcement. But personally, at the current time, I'm not opposed to a dispensary in town. But on-site consumption isn't something that I would be a fan of, just not knowing, you know, ultimately the details of how it's affecting people. You're going to consume and then get behind your car and drive down Route 9 in not the best state of mind. I know people go to bars and they have drinks, and that's obviously also a problem. But I don't want to compare two mind altering substances as the same thing. So I think they're different and they should be treated differently. But I would not want to pass on the opportunity to earn tax revenue from sale. Those are my thoughts.
You can set it out. The point you made when you first started to speak there was to see what the bill of community is. How we would do that when we have
Public
workshop or something like that, invite people to come in and get their thoughts on it. I agree with you. I think it could be done in our community if it's done right. But I'd certainly like to know what the feel of the community is on it, too.
Right.
I think it's certainly a win as far as tax dollars and stuff and how people are taxed on it. But I would certainly like to see that. Hear what the public has to say before I make any decision on it.
Great, thanks.
Good information.
Any other comments?
Did you send it all?
All modification. Yeah. Okay. So our discussion on cannabis law on the 9 here. Over for tonight. Number 10 on the agenda is supervisor items. Let's see what we've got here. All right. So first thing here, supervisor items, I have a handwritten note from a resident down on Bluebird Road. To the town supervisor, and this individual is bringing our attention to the speed of 55 miles per hour from the corner of Fort Edward Road to Fenimore or Hudson Falls Road. This person is looking for a reduction from 55 miles per hour to 45 with police protection to enforce and proper signage of speed limit. They've given a list of reasons to look at again or revisit. There's seven of them. I will just read them. They go quick. More chemical, quote unquote, chemical liquid trucks in and out of the Hexion on Farnham Road Industrial Park. Lena's Senior Daycare, Good Shepherd Senior Center, Skimmerhorn Apartments on both ends of this section of the road, ATVs and dirt bikes, cars for speeding and racing up and down this section of the road daily and on Farnham Road, passing on double lines, no police patrols in this area. And this was brought to our attention from Miss Mary Hall. So she has some good points, but I know, and I have some notes in here from previous board meetings, let's see, on January 30th, 2019. Under supervisor items, I'll read it here. This has been brought up before. So this is January 30th, 2019. The supervisor stated that he had received some disappointing news from New York State DOT regarding the request for a reduction to the speed limit on Bluebird Road from Fort Edward Road to the Hudson Falls Bridge in the town of Monroe. The reduction in speed was requested in February of 2018. The supervisor reported it, and New York State DOT denied the request, stating that essentially the reduction wasn't warranted. That wasn't the first time that had been brought to our attention at a board meeting on September 8th, 2020. What's highlighted under committee reports here, I just want to read it. Councilmember Donahue asked if we could get the radar sign on a regular basis because we've received complaints of speeders on PCM Road, Bluebird Road, and Reservoir Road. He wondered if this was something that could be set up. Supervisor also stated that he too had received complaints for Feeder Dam Road and Tanglewood Drive. He stated that they can get the unit, but it's subject to a first come, first served basis. He noted that there were 22 supervisors in the county. And he stated that it might be a while before he can get it back. Well, when the supervisor returns, maybe we can ask him if he can request that speed limit sign. You know, I had a conversation with Highway Superintendent Mr. Joseph, and he had mentioned that, believe it or not, when you throw that sign up there and indicate people's speeds, they do slow down, at least while the sign is there. But the sign is to be borrowed. You can purchase them. We could look into possibly just for information gathering purposes and move forward from there. But I feel like these always come back to law enforcement issues and speed limit sign on a stretch of road like that doesn't always reduce the speed. It's really an issue for law enforcement.
The thing is, there may be a combination of law enforcement and these signs to make people aware. I know the city of Glens Falls, they have one of their own, and it's actually sponsored by a local insurance agency. Maybe we could look at, I'm going to talk to Dan Hall and see him tomorrow. And he might have an idea of what something like that costs. And maybe we could visit maybe one of our bigger local businesses or something, a couple of businesses, and see if they just, their insurance company has their sign on the side of the speeding thing. So let me look into that a little further.
Yeah.
See, you know, as far as cost and stuff, and maybe I can even talk to him and let him know if they on that.
So bring that up on the first take.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have something to talk about. Exactly. Or maybe earlier.
But we always have stuff to talk about.
Okay. There you go. Good. What do we got here with this one? Okay, so we were contacted by Karen French. Karen is part of the Southside Cemetery Association, and there's been an ongoing issue. This is just something to bring up on the supervisor item. I don't know how much we can offer, but if you're familiar with the Southside Cemetery, if you're going from Denver Road, Route 32, up William Street, just past the cemetery, there appears to be an old four-wheel drive trail there. So there's a gate that's been ruined and knocked down, and it sends people go out there and they party in the back, and there's a lot of traffic on that road at the wrong time of day. That property actually, it's been determined that it does belong to the Southside Cemetery. They were asking if the town had any thoughts on how they can block it. Let me read you the email. Good morning, this is a no-rush email, but I was wondering if you could direct me to the right person to ask for help with blocking the access road down to the old sand pit off William Street. I have been getting complaints about partying down there again, and our gate we had there has been vandalized so many times we can barely get it across the road. Hoping this is something I can work with the town on, getting it blocked off, but not sure who to talk to. Thank you. Now, I don't really know if you guys have any thoughts, but it's not my property. I do know, just from personal experience, Cranesville, when they have that big truck that drops those highway roads and that blocks, they're not that expensive. I mean, I can talk to Karen. I'm not saying the town would have any part of paying for those one bit whatsoever, but if you put those things down there, nobody moving them out of the way. They come in with a truck crane and they drop them. A few years ago, I looked in them for something, they were like $65 or $70 a piece delivered. I can have that conversation with her. Not town board related. I don't personally know if the town should be paying for anything of that nature.
The town should not be paying
for it. The thing is, it's Southside Cemetery problem. I know it's a neighborhood problem also, but I think she's contacting me to go to Southside Cemetery and see what they might want to do with it. But if you want to intervene and see what they would cost for and stuff like that, I'm sure she'd appreciate that.
We thought the suggestion had a problem. Okay, I'm right here in the supervisor item. It's just a notice that certificate notice to close a highway. This came from Chad Cook, the County Commissioner of Public Works, to the town clerk of the town of Rose to certify that the undersigned commissioner of public works of the county of Saratoga is closing a section of highway known as County Road 31 at Fortsville Road, where it crosses the north branch of the Smith Hill between Hatchery Road and Clark Road. Only local traffic will be allowed access. The road will be closed beginning Monday, August 2nd, 2021, until approximately Friday, October 22nd, 2021. The road is being closed for a culvert replacement. Signed Chad Cook, County Commissioner of Public Works. There's also one here on the bottom, a note to be read. Notice the town superintendent of the town of Moreau, you are hereby notified that the above described section of highway has been closed by me in accordance with section 104 of the highway law. A detour will be maintained during closure, also signed by Chad Cook, County Commissioner of Public Works. Supervisor's office, town board, and let's see, town clerk. This has been added to the website as of 7/20/21. All right. Any questions on any of those supervisor items?
No.
Okay. Any committee reports?
Transfer station. Mike is coordinating with Peter, building and grounds to get that roof put on the compact building. They're going to work together on it, and if we can, we'll get it done. So things are going on there. I don't know if the right part, but I saw pictures today on the Peter Center, on the lining that they did down at the new. Playground down. It looks good. It looks good. They got the one-way signs up and stuff. They had to write it down there. So those guys always do a good job down there. It looks looks pretty nice.
Okay.
Personnel committee, we obviously are all aware that we have some open positions. We've got two or three open clerk positions. We've got a full-time position with the transfer station. We got a labor position in water. So on the website, Lisa, last night, a big radio button on the home page directly points to the sub page of all the postings. I strongly encourage every board member I want to do it, every department head, to share that link with anybody and everybody you know. I just think we spread the word. There's a lot of good positions out there. Pretty confident stating that if we keep doing what we're doing, we'll get the same results, and those aren't good enough in getting enough applicants in. But I just encourage every board member to think about if you're comfortable posting it out and sharing it as published on our website. So that's just a plea from the personnel committee to continue to help. I believe we also exhausted the list on the clerks. For the clerk's position, the multiple clerk's position. So I don't think the resolution or not, I think we can go ahead and advertise that. The list was two, and one was drawn, and the other were in interviews. Maybe interview one. So is that a resolution we need to have for?
Perhaps I have to do that, yes.
I present a resolution authorizing the clerk to publish a helpline advertisement for specifically the clerk's position. I asked us to, in that publication, also note the website that would point them to all the other great job opportunities. We get a double bang for our buck.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Do we need to elaborate on what the clerk's position entails, or?
She'll include a job description published by the because
the information there already on the website, so it's in our county and all that.
How do you normally do that, Pam?
We've just recently started putting job descriptions on the website, so I'll have to get that from Jeffrey, but I can get that, and he'll get it from civil service.
Okay.
So when I'm advertising, though, am I advertising for several clerk positions? Am I going to put it out there that they're looking for several clerk positions,
yeah,
correct?
I mean, you know, we know that yours, the one you have is an appointed position, but we want to specifically call out.
Right.
We have other clerk positions, either multiple or we can name them.
Okay.
Highlighted.
And I do let people know that they're civil service positions, correct?
Yes.
So we have a motion and a second. We have the discussion. Any further discussion?
No.
No further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition?
Staying on the personnel committee, just one more thing. I spoke with Lisa and Jeffrey about it. I don't actually know whose responsibility it might be, but I would also encourage us to figure out who that person is. We should start trying to take advantage of some of the free job posting sites. I know that they publish in the posts are, they provide part of the service publishing in the job board, but I know a lot of entities, including the one I work with, we get a lot of success out of it. We have to use the paper, but there is a free version of Indeed as an example. And again, back to the comment of I believe that we need to start doing things a little bit differently, maybe more aggressive to draw applicants in. So I don't know if we can ask the supervisor's office to see if they can work for that. That's a reasonable request.
I got an ad from an attorney.
Fine.
Fine with her?
Absolutely.
That was a reasonable request.
Okay, do you want to talk to
them? I will. Yeah. Any other committee reports?
Yes. So, for transfer station, going back to that, I was informed this afternoon that there was a flat tire on the welder, the pay order. We were informed about that there's probably needs on the tires because they're bald. Because of rust issues, it's going to need some rims. I called Mike Hastings, who's currently down there, trying to get all the details for us and run the place as Ted is trying to walk away from the job at this point. That we're going to need some estimates, some proposals from those three different entities, or we try to get those proposals. But right now, I think that from what he said, it's probably we can do an emergency repair on this tire, get it patched, but we really need to look at what we're going to do with this machine. They're telling me that the amount of rust on that, it probably isn't long for this service. There's, you know, we need to think about upgrades with it. Needless to say, that's going to be worked on, and we'll have more information hopefully in the next week. The other thing is about the wreck. We had more vandalism last night. Somebody went in, broke us, kicked in another bathroom door, and broke some more windows on the pickup truck that's down there.
The same pickup truck? Or
same pickup truck.
So it's the same. How we purchased the kids group?
I suspect. Lord knows, but I suspect. But taking one of those lines and having thoughts about getting cameras down there, things are still in the works with that. We don't have anything solid as far as what the cost might be, how many we can actually do, but hopefully by the next meeting we'll have that information. Peter sent out an email about some of the good things going on at the bar. You know, the basketball camp is going on. It says fourth week, I think he said. The nature trail walks, that's going well. And several of the softball tournaments that they posted down there or we have had there, those have all gone well. There's another one this weekend coming up. I know that much of the hurricanes, they've been playing ball down there and things are going well with that.
There was a huge response this weekend in the whole region hosted by one organization, and one of their sites was our park, and I stopped down over the weekend. It was pretty awesome to see all the baseball fields being used, all the softball fields being used, all the flat fields being used for lacrosse. It was firing off cylinders, it really was. And I know
the staff trying to drive the puddles are doing a heck of a job, doing the best they can. They had a couple field closures early in the morning, but for the most part have been on it and doing a heck of a job, keeping everybody happy.
Just real quick comment. So disc golf also is taking getting a lot of traction. In the rain and in the sun, they're down there playing. We've got multiple people playing every day. People have been cold. Mm-hmm. I saw them down there, so that's going to really continue to be a good amount of the added.
Right. Yeah, disc golf popularity is, if you're not aware, the popularity of disc golf is going through the roof at this point in time. It helps. So it's already listed on the website that avid disc golfers use, so people that are driving up the North Bay go, oh, there's a new course right here, and this time let's get off and go play it, you know. And I foresee some big tournaments actually, maybe next summer, depending on what we can do with that course. Glen Falls just had a very successful one, and the designer of that course designed our course, is going to continue design free of charge, I may add. He did that on his own time.
Oh, yes.
And he spent the time to do that. And, it's more technical than you think, and he was able to pull it off. So I think that's an amazing thing that's happening down there. Any other committees? No. Okay, so item number 12 here is where we get to hear from our folks from the public. This would be our privilege of the floor time. Anybody who would like to speak to the board, please approach. We haven't, this is our second meeting where we've got privilege of the floor. Some simple reminders here, privilege of the floor, 3-minute time window. Three or five?
Three.
3-minute time window, and so we can allow them to speak as well. We'll go that route. Anybody like approach the podium here? Hi, Ms. Wandsworth, how are you doing?
Doing good. And I wanted this to be 5 minutes.
5 minutes for public hearing.
Oh, okay.
3 minutes for public hearing.
Okay. Well, nice to meet you all. I've spoken to you a couple times. I've still got the same issue that has affected me a couple years ago. I'm here to present. A couple of you heard me repeat this, but I have to repeat it again so the public can hear me. And understand that any property owner in the town of Morrell needs to take their survey or any documentation that they have of their property and frame it, put it in a safe deposit box, do whatever you have to do so that nobody can come in, reset your lines, or have an unqualified surveyor come in and do a survey that did not do a complete deed search to state where a property needs to start from. With this survey not doing a complete deed search has cost me a lot financially, through the courts, through my family, my children, stress, my husband, because it was corruption. Bottom line, with the survey not deducting 25 feet of Route 32, placed him more on my property. And then what really, most of the bills that come in front of the planning board, zoning board, they request certified survey map or a tax map. Well, my due process to defend myself, to protect my property that I have invested so much in, was attacked. And what's upsetting is, didn't know that the tax map on my property and the adjacent land next to me was altered. With these dimensions, kind of made the property look like it was a buildable lot. But I realized it's two non-buildable lots. One was supposed to be 100 wide by 145 in length. The second partial behind that was supposed to be 100 wide by 55 in width. What's really upsetting is, before anybody made a decision on building a house, you really need to pay attention to residents, the people who live there. Because I knew that there was issues, but I just couldn't pinpoint why nobody was listening to me. Again, that tax map is used through the planning board, zoning board. Mine was used through a court, Supreme Court. So they're looking at me like, what's your problem when you got a tax map in front of me that shows 100 feet wide by 250 feet deep when the property is only 87 feet wide by 172 feet deep? Kind of misleads a lot of people. And when it misled a lot of people, left me in harm, as I was begging the former. None of you were here, and I want to make that clear. None of you new board members were involved or had any clue at the time. The ones who did clearly ignored my concerns and my devastation of what was occurring up on my property. Now again, I wanted the stormwater report person to be here, but I guess we don't have one now. But when you have a survey map that lies, a tax map that's misleading, then you go to an engineer report, and the contractor doesn't obey the engineer. I'm out, right? Was my time out?
No,
that's why I wanted to be put on the agenda. My thing is, a lot of people let a lot of things happen and they didn't research. And they should have researched before they impact me like they did. Again, I'm being the one with the damages. I'm the one that spent the money. And I didn't do anything wrong but do what a normal person would do, is like handle it in court. But I didn't have a chance, not with all these altered documents and misleading fraud dimensions. I wish I had more time to explain to the public and to you that nobody, as long as I've lived here, should have been left with any type of impact. None. And now I'm told that this house, septic leaks, you put more than three people in that house, septic leaks. I don't want to smell it. This past rain season, right now, y'all hold your breath for me to set out on my patio. You know, that's not fair. And it's because when I asked for the freedom foil, they said the septic was installed too close to surface. I asked for the video of a septic to be installed. There's no septic video down here. The only pictures you have is the ones I've taken. And I can show you there was no crushed stone in with those pipes being laid. And yes, the septic was installed too close to surface. And I'm done being flooded out. Engineer report that he got stated that if he didn't obey his report, it was going to highly impact his neighbor, me. On top of that, we had a code enforcement said, oh, just put a 200-foot swale that went through their property. Again, my husband and I are on a fixed income. And I didn't think it was fair that I had to go out with Toflex, you can look it up, I got over $5,000 worth of material that I'm trying to bring up just half of my property to bring to the back of my garage to Route 32 so the water doesn't continue to flood my back end out. And a septic is supposed to be 100 feet away from a well. I can prove to you that my septic is 87 feet to that well. And now that the property on the other side of this property, if you look at the survey map, his leach field is less than 100 feet to this well. They're trying to sell this place at $300,000. No bank's been involved because no title search has been done. And if a bank has let this go through, then I would love to debate them and hold them responsible. But no building should have been put on 87 feet wide by 173 feet in length. Nobody. And you should have listened to the taxpayer. You should have listened to us so I wouldn't be $100,000 into debt. Again, I did what I was supposed to do through court. There's so much more. Flooding. Things that I used to be able to put my collector's car in. Flooding. So an engineer report should have actually, those are my new trees I just put in. $5,000 for the tax little trees. So, and that's another thing. I'm being taxed that land, but I'm landlocked out because they let them put a fence on my property. Beautiful vinyl fence. And again, I have a video where my pins were. I have so much proof I cannot be continue to be ignored and discriminated out here. I mean, I'm never held back. I've never denied any information I have. I'm up front and I'm willing to sit down and discuss. But I should have never been left with all this impact on me on top of dealing with cancer and trying to survive that way. You should not hurt people that are disabled. It's crude. Very rude. And then instead of me taking my kids to a trip, I got to take them out to the yard and help their mother fill in a swale that everybody was okay to impact. And I'm sorry for delaying any of you anymore.
Then I appreciate you sharing with us tonight and bringing us up to...
But what's going to happen? Well, why do I have to be the one impact when there was so much corruption and wrongdoing on others? I came to the code enforcement and I said, please, we got problems with septic and well, we're on our own base. You know what they did? They put a $250,000 lawsuit, the contract did. Why? Because I came to a code enforcement. Nobody else, because I don't know anybody else, to stay my griefs. That was to shut me down so I didn't come down and express my opinion and to put more of this to stop. And again, I was told the tax maps, I apologize, they've been corrected. Well, you took away my due process. You could correct the tax maps now, but I needed them to be meet the correct dimensions. Don't mislead the board. Don't mislead anybody. It leads a mess. And then, let me say this. I'm told to sue my neighbor. Go sue thy neighbor. If you continue to go sue thy neighbor, we're not going to have a neighborhood. Right. I bit my tongue. I did not sue those people because I didn't think that they were the ones that caused the building or the destruction. It was co-enforcement, contract, and sometimes some of the officials. And if they don't listen, you wouldn't want this to do on your property. I was there 20 years. I already had things done up cute over there. And now I'm doing it again. And my health is not as good. I was 24 years old when I moved into that place. I had a lot of energy, healthy.
And I know some of us have talked to you about that at the house.
And I'm grateful.
Anybody else who wants to reach out and challenge the sponsor, please.
Anybody wants to personally pull me aside and tell me how do I get over this? How do I correct this? How do I have to fix this?
Right.
I'd be more than grateful to sit down with each and every one of you, and I've invited all of you to come to my house. I have nothing to hide. So, again, I don't know where this is going to go, but I don't want to continue to come down here and embarrass myself or explain how I was taken advantage. And I lost my due process to defend and protect. Nobody should do that. Listen to the taxpayers, not a survey. Question the survey map. Things look bigger. Things look smaller. Things look shorter. Some things are misleading. Trust the taxpayer, especially if they've lived there over 20 years. None of this should have happened. None of it. And their land should have never been grandfathered in, by the way. Saratoga County owned the back part for taxes.
So I will,
how do you fix it?
I will have a conversation just for my own, up to speed. I'll talk to someone over in the building department just to get some feedback, just because, as you said, I'm newer to this. And at this point, though, I don't know if there's anything else that...
Well, you know, when I came to the code enforcement, this is what's upsetting. You guys set codes. And you were supposed to obey, and then I just seen about the fence. If they're not, you're in violation. You take on authority that you need to correct that. I come down in front of the zoning board in front of Joe Patrick, and I have it in a statement. Can't help you. We don't go after code violations. So does that mean anybody can do whatever they want to do? Got it in a statement. We don't handle code violations. Who does?
Right.
Been waiting patiently to go over that house up there, very patiently.
Joe Patrick is no longer employed by the town.
No, Joe is not, thank God. Because it would have been more harm, like this town building the highway garage. When this was being built, that's the same time they were up there doing what they wanted to do on my property. That's where Joe was. Now here supervising all the damages done here. He was up there taunting my place.
Right. Thank you for sharing that.
And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody.
No, no, I understand that. We don't have a problem. It's really, it's been about 12 minutes. It probably went by like that. So I was, if you could send maybe some emails in to some of the folks here for further discussion, that would be great if something comes up.
And that's, this didn't happen. My court was in this happened in 2009. My court dragged on until 2014. And then 15 was my cancer. 16, I was back in the hospital. So, I did what I had to do. But why did I have to get the expense of it all? Why did I have to endure it? So if you guys can all talk and work something out, how can you stop Angela from coming back down and then being poor? I can't even do anything on my land. And the power line to that place, by the way, Carla, blew. Why? Because it's in a water runoff area. The well water is right there, less than 100 feet from my septic. Stream runoff. Who's going to go up and clean my driveway right now with sand debris and paint chips and glass and nails and cigarette butts? Me?
Again, thank you for sharing those thoughts with us tonight, Ms. Barber.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else from the public like to speak to the board?
I think I'll come up for a second. Is that okay?
Well,
anybody wonder why I'm here?
Nope. Yep.
Go ahead, Carla, you first.
Thank you. Something
about water. Yeah, there you go. The water consolidation, I spoke to most of you. Alan and I are playing home type, but that's okay. We'll catch up soon. I got the numbers from Leanne there. There's almost $2.3 million in reserve funds between District 2 and District 4. It's a large sum of money. Water consolidation, I'm all for it. I agree. The paperwork, it was horrendous when I was here, and it's worse now. That's a good thing. I don't want to lose sight of that $2.3 million. I've heard some talk, and J.D. had mentioned that stays with the district. Once we're consolidated, the district goes away. I don't know. I just, I talked to John, talked to Kyle, talked to JD. I'd like to hear from the board where we're going to go before we adopt that local law. I don't think it's fair to pay that tax for another district if you live in these districts that are already paying for it. District 2, again, has been around a long time. Infrastructure's old. Fire protection needs to be brought up. District 4 is all brand new. It was paid for by GE. Those people went through, suffered with all the contaminated water, everything else. There's no reason why they should have to pay for these new districts. I totally get the way you're operating the new districts now. It's all combined and everything else like that. That was a choice that the town has made, the engineers have made. That's the way they wanted to do the design the system. That's okay, but there's no reason that I got it. I wasn't here. Between District 2 and District 4, why they should have to pay that debt. We pay our user's fee. I'd like to see some workshops. I'd like to have some more input on it. I'm glad to work with anybody on it. I think everybody needs to be treated fairly. And if you consolidate this thing, which is, again, it's fine. I totally get it. But if you consolidate and make the people pay a debt that they didn't create, that's wrong. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have about 35 seconds.
Oh.
Now I owe you. Oh, no.
Okay. Let me look and see if there's anybody online here. Doesn't appear to be anybody online that has any public comment they'd like to make. Do we need an executive session this evening?
We do. We need an executive session to discuss the purchase for the sale of real property. And I'd like to give an update on the Erie litigation.
Okay.
And I think you need a number of personnel.
Okay, so I'd like to seek a motion to
move into executive session to discuss the sale of real property, an update on the year litigation, and personnel matter.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.